the path of the witch is so unique.
The gift of witchcraft.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and powerful spell.
She's actually sticking me in the cauldron.
The role of the witch is to make change.
Bless it be, y'all.
Bless it be.
People ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch and I don't know what to do.
20 years ago, three young friends realized they were witches. They scattered to different parts of the world, following magic and spirit. Now, they're back in their hometown to share what they've learned.
Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast, your home for living as a witch in today's world.
There are some resources, but yeah, definitely didn't see it coming. So it's been a bit of a wild week, but otherwise I'm doing pretty well. You know, I definitely am looking forward to more time for myself. So I guess like small silver lining there, but
yeah,
otherwise pretty good. I know it's really, it's a tough time. And I know that so many people are experiencing that. So, you know, a friend said to me today, they said, you know, at least maybe, you know, at least you're not in this alone. Like so many people are in this, in a similar scenario. And I said, you know what, you're really right. Like there is a level of solidarity that I think, you know, doesn't always happen with layoffs. So in that sense, you know I'm not alone in that.
What's the laziest, most jerk off thing you're looking forward to doing now that you're unemployed?
Well, like pretty much I like clicked log off on Friday and went straight into the hot tub.
I was so jealous.
No, that's not even true. I made a cup of tea. I made a cup of like, I think, I can't remember what brand it is, but it's like a happiness tea, you know, it's like a, you know, happy tea. And so I like made a cup of herbal tea and I, got in the hot tub and sat there for a while. And like clockwork, I had ordered some body butter from Witch Baby, which is a vendor a small shop that's all like witchy-based products, bath products. And it arrived and I was like, sweet, I'm just going to take this hot tub and I'm going to lather myself in this body butter and forget that this is happening.
So that reminds me, Hillary, with your birthday coming up, you got your one of the first Amazon packages that I sent you delivered. And what did you get to do with it?
I know these bitches were like, hey, there's going to be a bunch of stuff arriving for you. First of all, I'm like, well, fuck, I ordered stuff from Amazon. So you're gonna have to be very specific about like the size and like when it's arriving. But
I was pay attention to that. You just have to wait until, you know, your birthday.
Yeah, you don't get to open your own Amazon packages either.
Opening my like makeup products that I ordered for sure.
No, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere, Ree. Why do you need makeup products? You're not working. You're not going out. You don't need to open your makeup products.
I'm too late. Already did. So these bitches were like, hey, we're sending you gifts. You know, like my birthday is May 14th. So it's a real bummer that I will be experiencing it inside. And it's my 40th birthday. So that's like an extra kick in the balls. And so, yeah, these bitches were like, well, we're going to have some presents delivered to you. I was like, oh, that's so nice. And they're like, they're going to come like in the next couple of days, but you can't open them for 2 weeks. And I was like, what type of fucking assholes do that to a person?
We do. We do. I'm so excited because your present arrived at my house yesterday. And so I've already been enjoying it and I will send it over to you. I know that sounds actually really dirty, but it's not like that. But I was gazing at it with like, oh, it's so nice.
I
told what Kanani was. Let me tell you something. Kanani actually said something really nice when I told her what I got you. She said, oh my God, that's so neat. And she meant it.
Instead of like, it wasn't fake this time.
Her presents are always like more endearing and mine are just better because they're funny.
I mean, I like
full of love. See, that's the difference.
I like
mine are just fucking hilarious
and loving presents. I'm dying. You guys are terrible.
You know, Consider it an exercise in soul fortitude or whatever. I don't know. Well,
not only were they like, you can't open your gifts for this time period. Like another one arrived and Kanani's like, just remember, don't forget you can't open it. I was like, I already know, you fucking assholes. Like, you know, I know.
That's why I had to bring it up. And what do you get to do with your presents, Hillary?
I hate both of you. Tear at them with hatred.
So we need to talk about something that's happened that was incredibly traumatizing. That is the fact that I had to cut all of my nails down.
Oh, no.
Because we had another casualty. And so I'm just like, you know what? I'm just done. And some of them I can't peel off because they're still stuck to the nail enough. So I just had to cut them all down. And for the first time, I typed on my keyboard. Now, keep in mind, I have had these giant claws for over a year now.
It feels so weird, right?
I had to have, like the keyboard key touched my flesh, and I was like, ew. It was all ewy and squishy, and I am not happy.
And it's like, they're so sensitive. Like, when I took mine off, I was like, oh, God, everything is very sensitive.
It's so gross. My fingertips are squishy and I don't like that I can touch them. It's very bothersome.
It is totally bothersome.
Well, I have freedom from that because I've had cavewoman hands all my life and I don't wear fake nails. So, you know, I'm doing just fine.
Oh, I need them back. I need my claws. And it's not even about, like I said, the aesthetic. Like, you get so used to, like, yeah, it's just gross. Can't handle it. This is not working for me. This whole quarantine thing is no longer working for me. We're going to need to wrap this up.
Yeah, you're like, this isn't going to work.
This is the line. My nail's coming off. This is the line. We've found it. We need to press forward. This is like the first time in probably 20 years, about a year ago, I finally cut off the last of my dyed hair. I grew it all out. And I've got really long hair now. And actually, shockingly, it's all my natural color. Can you imagine how impossible I would be if I had roots coming in right now? I would be the crazy person storming the Capitol building all by myself, just rage crying. Look at my hair! Look at it! That would be me.
And then we'd have to kick you off the podcast for
exactly. Be like, we'd have to have a disclaimer. We already should have a disclaimer. The things that come out of Kanani's mouth do not necessarily represent the rest of the That Witch Life hosts. We should really have that disclaimer already.
But they do apparently represent the vast majority of our audience members. I'm fine, aside from the fact that I'm just really cranky as hell right now because my period is 5 days late. No, audience, I am not pregnant. Please don't ask. Please don't assume. But it turns out that that is a side product for me of grief. Like when Hillary and my friend passed away about a year and a half ago, my period was 4 days late after that. And like normally my menstrual cycle, the government times like clocks and the naval ship schedule around it. It is so freaking timely. And so when it is like multiple days late, it just kind of throws me off. And so I'm just really ready to like, you know, I'm eating all the peanut butter out of the jar with a spoon and then just wanting to break the jar over someone's head.
You've always been like that, which I think is so hilarious because now I don't have one very often because of my birth control pill. But even when I was not on the pill, mine's like a guessing game. Are we going to have one this month? I don't know. How long is it going to last? Who knows? Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't happen. Oh, look, 7 weeks later. There it is. Oh, look, 2 weeks later. There it is. Like, there was nothing. There was no rhyme. There was no reason. There was nothing about it.
Yours was like Pong. It was like, where is the ball going to land on what side?
Yeah. It was the most horrible guessing game in the history of the world.
Yeah. No, mine is always like by the hour I can pretty much predict it. And now it's like, no, we're not coming right now. We need some time. I'm like, no, you don't. You need to get these hormones out of my system because I'm really tired of being angry for no reason. So.
Well, the best part for me was what always seemed to do it was, oh, you're going on vacation. Now it's going to happen. It's like, are you effing kidding me? Are you kidding me? That seemed to be my trigger was, oh, you're going on vacation. You want to wear a swimsuit?
Just kidding. Gush.
Yep.
That was my life.
Yeah. Now we're an official witchcraft podcast. We're talking about our periods, except we're not being all like, oh, the periods, this wonderful time where I'm in touch with myself. I'm like, I hate everyone, including myself, when I'm on my period.
I eat giant cheeseburgers the size of my face. And then I funnel it down with gallons of chocolate. That's what I do.
Well, I it was very funny because last time I started my period, when my husband came home, I said, we're going to Dairy Queen tonight. And he said, okay. And he goes, what? And I'm like, I started my period today, so we're going to go get Dairy Queen. Because that's when I do it. You know, I'm not like Kanani that has to go every hour on the hour. I'm like, no, I have suffered enough and it is time to go indulge in some sugar. So yeah. And my husband always seems to forget. He's like, this is a thing that we do. And I said, yes. So anyway, we have a listener question. And hello, I just wanted to reach out and say, hi, thank you for your podcast. I feel like I'm in the process of waking up, which feels strange to say, and have been struggling to name the experience. Before heading on my walk this morning, I randomly found your podcast and figured I'd download an episode. Ever since I was in my early teens, I have been drawn to witchy things, but have always pulled back and stifled my curiosity, mostly out of fear from both social repercussions, I grew up Jewish, and the thought that I could accidentally stumble into something dark or evil. I remember when I was in high school, I bought a book of spells, did one, and then got so freaked out that God would punish me, I returned it the next day. However, as I got older, I'll be 38 this year, I am trying to embrace what feels like my true self and stop resisting things that feel like home. So while I am sad to have discovered these resources during a lockdown, I am grateful for whatever led me to you. We will be moving to Ann Arbor in June to start my PhD, another part of living as my honest self. Hopefully, I can find some people in Michigan with which to connect. Anyway, thank you again, and I look forward to working my way through your episodes. I also ordered Drawing Down the Moon, so thank you for that recommendation. Listener, you are most welcome, and congratulations on your move and your PhD program. Actually, Michigan has got a really, really wonderful community around magic and witchcraft. So I would recommend you look up the Detroit Conjure Festival, as well as the Boston Tea Room. Boston Tea Room is in Detroit. I know Detroit and Ann Arbor, there's a bit of a difference there, but it may be worth the drive. But the Boston Tea Room has a lot of really wonderful classes and other resources for you, so make sure you check them out. And not quite next door, short plane ride, do look up Paganicon, which happens in Minneapolis in September. I will be teaching there, and that would be a great place to connect with some other people. Also, just look on Facebook and do some searches for Ann Arbor pagan groups and start going to open events, and you'll find something. But it's so interesting, this question about the thought of accidentally stumbling into something dark or evil. And, you know, honestly, that was a fear that I had
myself. Same. Me too.
Yeah.
100%. And
Hillary, you and I had some scary moments in high school where we were messing around with things we didn't understand. But I think it's more complicated than that. Sometimes you are opening doors and you don't know what's on the other side. And sometimes something kind of icky can come through.
Sure. But I also think that doesn't make it inherently evil.
No, but what I was going to say is that I think people's lives can get upended by magic when they first start it. And really that is spirit often trying to make some order out of what was already chaos, that kind of chaos you were used to. And if you let it happen, you find yourself stronger on the other side. A lot of people will sometimes go into magic, start doing things. They don't like what's happening in their lives. They assume that they're being cursed or, you know, something's backfiring, and they pull back and they don't go through it. And by then there's usually some energetic imbalances that have to get rectified. I think that's where this reputation of something evil comes in. Is there evil in the world? Yes, absolutely. Is there evil in magic? You know, I feel like sometimes the Abrahamic religions open that door more than any of the earth-based religions do, because they're the ones that created or really have put a lot of faith into these kind of evil demonic forces. And therefore those evil demonic forces kind of tend to circle around those faiths. I'm probably going to get into so much trouble for saying this, but you know, they're the ones that are feeding those beings because of their fears and their belief. Once you step out of that, you find that people don't believe in that as much. And so those beings just don't have any food to feed on.
Well, and I feel like there is a difference between something that provides like a negative presence or a negative energy, there's a difference between that and like something that is evil or like, you know, that is so malicious. You know, I think that, you know, have I in the time that I've been involved in witchcraft or magic felt things that made me uncomfortable? For sure. Yeah. Did I feel ever like truly in danger with that? Not really. You know, did it make me, especially when you're exploring, you're not really sure what it is. Yeah. There are moments that, I mean, I know you and I shared that were quite scary, but I think it was more a fear of like, what the hell is this? Rather than something that was bad, you know, awful, you know?
Well, we did tap into some pretty ugly stuff in my old house.
I mean, I think it was, but again, I never felt like it was like demonic or whatever that means. You know, I felt like it was energy that was intense and definitely not positive energy. And certainly, an entity that was felt pretty bad, and it was really scary. But I think if we knew what we knew now, then like, would we have been quite as scared? I don't know.
Well, also when you're younger, your energies are more intense. You feel things a lot more. Like I know my feeling, I could get the kind of anger I could experience when I was 16 years old. It's very hard for me to get that angry now.
True. And right? the other thing that popped up for me too was, you know, when I read that question was, you know, even though that, you know, that energy was, I mean, even if you come across an energy or an entity or whatever that is negative or that you feel is pretty, pretty bad or pretty intense. I mean, I've had a couple experiences, but you know, it's not like that experience, then it's like, you're going to be sucked in forever. You know what I mean? It's not like you go into this dark side that you can never get out of, in my opinion. I think you have to be cautious, and I think it's important to educate yourself and make sure you know what you're doing, and also have the resources or people or resources to reach out to if you get in a little over your head. But I certainly don't feel like it's a, you know, that it's evil or demonic, you know, the mere fact of practicing witchcraft.
I struggled with that for a very, very, very long time, probably a lot longer than, I don't want to say that I should have, but that would probably a lot longer than most people would realize or think would be kind of how long it would take. For the longest time, I had everything in my house and did everything except for wear a pentacle or have a pentacle. And I brought a pentacle into my house on my altar, probably, let's say 15 years ago. And then it took probably another 5 to 7 before I would wear one. And it's something that I had to deal with, because even though it was something I did, it was part of me, it was part of my practice, it's part of what I did, it took a really long time for me to slough off all of those feelings of things that I had been kind of indoctrinated into believing, and to the point that I was no longer having to remind myself that what I was doing was okay. It was just intrinsically now something I did, and it's not something I questioned anymore. But I was someone who sought religion, and so my first initial experiences dealt mainly in Christianity, which all said that witchcraft and all of this is and spirits is all negative and unnatural and dark and evil. And so I had to kind of just keep pushing through that. So as long as what you're doing, and she made a comment about it makes her feel at home. As long as those are the feelings it's bringing you, you're not feeling uncomfortable. You're not feeling like you're getting into things that are upsetting to you or don't feel, super comfortable. Then as long as you're doing that and you realize that good is coming to you and this is the path you want and embracing that, then allow yourself that space to know that there's a lot of people that struggled with that. You're not alone in that. It's okay to feel that way. You're doing something that you were indoctrinated against, possibly. I'm assuming, but there's a good chance. So be kind to yourself and don't worry so much and try and not, you know, cause I think especially in the beginning, there's a lot of the, should I just not do this cause it makes me uncomfortable? Or should I just not do this because I just don't know? Or, you know, there's a fear behind it. And as long as it is what you want, then just know that a lot of us had that and kind of worked through that. And that's a total normal part of the process. If you're coming from something where you were told that this was unacceptable, some people, you know, when they were younger, either had no background, so it was much easier for them to jump into because they weren't told that this was wrong, you know, but there's others that that's not the case. And so it was a little bit harder to kind of get used to that. And so, you know, we all come about this differently. And as long as this is what you want and you choose and you're comfortable doing what you're doing, just keep your head up and know that this is a great path and you're gonna learn so much and get so much out of it.
Yeah. And also don't let anybody make you feel bad if you're still working through nerves about this. Sometimes witches can get a little haughty, like, ha ha ha, that's silly. You feel that way. No, it's not silly.
It's not silly.
Yeah, don't let anybody make you feel that way. And also putting that call out to other witches, be very sensitive when you come across someone who's still working through this stuff, because it is a real fear and it's something that is worked through nurture and not just telling them to get over it or that it's silly or flippant. These are childhood fears that take a lot of things to work through. So I am super excited today because we have Paige Vanderpeck, the host of the Fat Feminist Witch podcast, which is one of my favorite witchcraft podcasts. And I know a lot of our listeners enjoy it too. So we are very excited to finally get Paige on the show. We've been wanting to have her for a long time. And if you're not familiar with Paige, she is the host of the Fat Feminist Witch podcast and has been since 2015, but rode into witchcraft on the Wiccan wave of the 90s. Despite being a total Capricorn, she's always entertained the mystical and unbelievable and has made the search for it her life's purpose. She's written and spoken about modern witchcraft, fat acceptance, and feminism on her own website, as well as Medium, Revelist, The Dot, Flare, and on the New World Witchery, Magic and Mediums, Cannabis Act, and Hippie Witch podcasts. She trained as a doula with Two Labor in NYC, studied history and humanities at Douglas College in British Columbia, and graduated from the tourism and travel program at St. Clair College in Ontario. Paige lives in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, with her cat Clover, a beta named Fish, and a house full of ghosts. I love that description so much.
Me too.
So much. Visit her online at thefatfeministwitch.com. Paige, welcome to the Fat Feminist Podcast. Are you going to include us on your list of podcasts when we're done, maybe?
Yeah. Next time I write a book, it's just going to be like this huge list in the, if they let me get away with it, I'll start doing it.
A whole book, my time on that Witch Life podcast by Paige, Fat Feminist Witch.
Whole back chapter, just shout out.
I feel Kanani's eyes rolling. I psychically am connected to Kanani's eye rolling and I'm like getting a buzz right now.
Oh, 100% no. I think all books should be written about me. I mean, the whole podcast is a bit excessive, but me, I mean, that's just gold.
But the thing is that you wouldn't even read it. Paige, I dedicated a book to Kanani that I wrote and published. She still hasn't read it.
It's true. But I read that. That's not true. I read my dedication.
I was just going to say, you read the dedication,
right? I read
right?
the like, dedication. You know everything. 100%.
Well, then, I mean, you really did at least the very least. So right. I don't know.
I like Paige. We get along. We understand each other.
Yeah.
We get each other.
Where are you guys at?
Portland, Oregon.
That's not that far. I mean, really? It's a few days, but it's not that far.
Maybe when we do our Sasquatch tour, we'll just go further north and we'll just keep going.
Oh, that'd be so fun. Yeah.
I would actually come to the Pacific Northwest to join a Sasquatch tour. Just saying.
I mean, yeah, we could arrange that.
When I lived in like Vancouver, BC, like no one there gave a shit about the fact that they were from the same part of the planet as Bigfoot. And I was like, what's the point of living out here if you don't you know, enjoy your local no one would go on a Bigfoot hunt with me. No one.
What?
That's ridiculous.
You know what? So I guess the Christians would call it a come to Jesus. I had a come to Sasquatch moment when I was in Washington this past year, because I was sitting around with a bunch of people who were telling their Sasquatch sighting stories. And I'm sitting here, and growing up in Oregon, whenever I'd go to a different part of the country, that's like the first thing to be out of my mouth. Yes, I'm from Oregon. No, I don't believe in Bigfoot, because that was just the assumption that we had, that we were all putting up Bigfoot cams in our backyard. So I found myself getting like, oh God.
Wait, you didn't have one in your backyard?
I was just going to say, wait a minute. Are you breaking my heart and telling me that there's no Bigfoot cams in everyone's backyard?
Well, ours was kind of like, looked more like a birdhouse, so we were able to get away with it. So anyway,
but
there was this, I had this moment where I'm sitting here rolling my eyes at the Bigfoot hunters around me. But then I thought about it, and something just said I needed to just sit my arrogant ass down. Because if I had been in Ireland and hearing stories from farmers about, you know, sightings of the fair folk, right, I would have believed every word, not a question, not like, where's your proof? Oh my God, have you had your head examined? What the hell's wrong with you? Not a question. Say, yep, I believe everything they said. That's all true. So why was I going to throw away the myths of my own region? And it's almost as though spirit heard me say it, because right after that, I heard an interview with a Native American woman about, you know, about the legends of Sasquatch and how they have been part of the culture of this region for thousands of years.
Yeah.
You know, hater. You're a hater. So, that's why you didn't believe it.
That's right.
Exactly. And so I was like, oh, you know what? Because if someone says to me, yes, this is an actual mammal who is out in the woods and, you know, is 7 feet tall and all of that, I'd say probably not. But if you say that it may be a manifestation of a spirit form of like a genus loci, that I would believe.
Right? Like, as soon as you're like, you know what, it's the only way to explain it is it's like, you know, ancient spiritual magic. I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Like, of course it's there.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, my belief in like things like Sasquatch is a lot like aliens. It's just like, it's statistically impossible that I'm the smartest person in the world. There's no way I could possibly know for sure. So I might as well just have some fun in it and believe in some aliens and Sasquatch. Who knows, right? Keep an open mind.
So I'm going to break out my Sasquatch field guide because I have one that discusses identifying, tracking, and citing North America's relict hominoid.
Oh my.
How to identify them, their footprints, their field mark. He's a quadruped, by the way. I am all down for Sasquatch talks.
Typical.
I am a Pacific Northwest girl. It is what we do.
It's Sasquatch time. Yeah. You know what? I just, I'm not disappointed. I'm already not disappointed I'm here.
The goat. Wow.
The goat.
The goat is what they use when I go on my tangents. So
that's
true. I will say something and we're like, I don't even know what to say. The only appropriate response is a screaming goat.
It just like, it really gets your attention.
I
live in an apartment building and you never know.
That's what I use right before I have to turn the van around with these two.
That's right.
I'm going to turn this van around. Yeah.
Every episode.
Excellent. That's excellent.
All right. So here we go. So Paige, the question we ask all our guests when they first come on That Witch Life podcast, how did you know that you were a witch?
You know, I feel like it happened multiple different times throughout my life, but it definitely started the same way it does with everyone, is I was just like a really weird kid. And it happens a lot. I was just, you know, I was very in tune with nature and I was very close with animals and I was not super close with other people. I loved books and I love reading and I loved books about, you know, fantasy. And in the 90s, when you start to look up witches on what began as the internet, Wicca and like real witchcraft are some of the first things that came up. So when my mom told me to like check it out, some people are witches in real life, from there on, it was just like, I never looked back. Even times when I wasn't practicing, it was always just part of who I was after that.
So that is really remarkable that your mom encouraged you to look into this.
Yeah, that's, I've realized as I got older, I've realized that I'm pretty fortunate there. My parents and I don't always have, like, you know, the perfect relationship, but when I was a kid, one thing they were really cool about with all three of us was if we ever wanted to explore any sort of like religious anything, they were supportive of that. Like, yeah, you can totally check that out. You can totally ask questions. They didn't have any religion that we needed to adhere to. So me and my siblings all ended up kind of with something different. And I just happened to be the witchy one of the three of us, I guess.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. They were pretty cool about that. And I think it's just because they were also kind of curious of things outside of Catholicism, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So so another question I have is, tell us a little bit about what your witchcraft practice looks like. And you talked a little bit about how you were in Wicca for a while. Was there a moment when Wicca didn't fit anymore? Does it still fit for you? What does your witchcraft look like now, perhaps in comparison to when you started?
I think Wicca still seemed like it was the path for me until I was out of high school and I was an adult on my own doing my own thing. And Wicca just seemed to, you know, have limitations where I wanted to continue to explore. You know, I was older. I could check things out more. I could actually meet other people that were not just Wiccan because times had changed. And from there, it was just time to kind of branch out. I met people when I was about 22. And instead of, you know, being Wiccan, they were pagan, and it was just a way more open label. And I was like, okay, this feels a lot more comfortable for me. And then from there, it just kind of kept changing until witch was the only thing left. Like, I just kept bumping things out of the label until witch was the only thing there.
I love that.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Totally sound familiar.
You know what? When I lived in the Pacific Northwest, I got really interested in druids because there's a lot out there because there's a lot of beautiful forests and trees. You know, it's a thing you guys have.
Oh, totally.
And so when I was there, I started like getting really interested in druids, but you guys are like way too, well, you guys, the druids are just way too like chill and quiet for me. I think they're so great and I love trees, but I was like, this is too mellow of like a spiritual path for me. I'm sorry, guys. But that was like when I move locations, I noticed that things changed just a little bit.
Interesting.
So yeah. Would things change, mean within the practice of druidism or within your own witchcraft?
Like the things that I start to explore, especially when I got into a new environment, it was like everything here just feels, you know, slightly different. It just feels slightly different. And then the cultures of the different people that live there are slightly different. So there were a lot more like Celtic people where I lived in Vancouver, I guess, than there are where I live now. And it just kind of made more sense to explore because I had that nature around me and the possibilities there. So my practice kind of explored druidry. And then when I moved back to where I live now in Ontario, it kind of went back to whatever it is now. Whatever you would describe it as.
Yeah. I think that seems like that's where the contemporary or the current trend with witchcraft is going is the, I don't know what you call it, but witch is the way to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, there certainly are a lot of traditions that are going on very, very strong, and that's not to deny them or undermine them, but it's also, I feel like there's an even greater movement right now of the witch without a label.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just like everything else, witches are really kind of just going through a transition. They're really having a time right now.
For sure. And I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but like for me, it was this, like, I kept looking into different pathways and was like, oh, I don't know. And I mean, I was interested in them, but it didn't click.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really until I just recognized that I could go on my own and take the things that I had learned and make my own practice that I was like, oh wait, no, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you know, that it certainly draws in, practices or elements or rituals from many different areas or different types of practice, but that for me, and it's why I called it, it's why I was like, no, I'm not like, I don't really do, it's just, I don't, it's why I didn't know what to call it for so long. Cause I was like, well, I don't really do that over there. And I don't really do that over here. So I really don't know what I do. I guess I'll just say I'm an atheist and keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. Something that doesn't make people ask a lot of questions.
Yeah. Right.
Well, what's funny is, so like, as people understand the term Christianity, like embodies so many different, you know, Presbyterian and Baptist and like all these different kinds of, you know, quote unquote Christians. And then there's paganism, which embodies, you know, so many different religions. And what's funny to me is how witch has now kind of become similar, where it's an umbrella term now. And so just because someone tells you a witch, you don't necessarily know what that means. You know what I mean? Like you can't then be like, oh, then I know what you do. Like, you might know kind of a little bit, but you have no idea really. Like, it doesn't necessarily paint a picture of who that person is or what they believe, because it's such a huge umbrella term now.
It's so individualistic. Like, it's just every witch I talk to does things a little bit differently. Just every single witch does it differently. And even the ones that like found witchcraft around the same time as me, you know, just because of where they lived or the witches that they met or whatever it was, the books that they ended up reading, other, you know, that were different than mine, their practice might look completely different. Yep. And it's just like, it's really, really neat. It's really cool.
That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Like I find when it comes to witchcraft, I don't get sick of talking about it with people because it's always different.
Well, yeah, it's so different for each individual person, even within more structured practices, it's different for everyone, you know, like,
Absolutely. Even in the traditions, I mean, they follow the same steps, I guess, but they still have their own, like individual experiences and feelings that make their practice or their stories just their own. It's really cool.
I think that's one of the reasons why as a practice, it breeds inclusivity.
Yeah.
Because there is not an automatic expectation that you do X, Y, and Z. And so you can come in and not necessarily feel like you're not doing it right or you're discluded, because everybody's different.
Right. Well, I'm going to jump in on that, Kanani, a little bit, because I think that what you're experiencing may be a little more true to the community that we have out here, but in the different witchcraft communities that I've moved through around the country, that's not always the case.
They can be judgmental.
I wouldn't say judgmental so much as orthodox. And I know that I've come across this a lot with people when they say, okay, I know I'm a witch. I know the next step is that I join a coven. And I said, well, it could be, but it doesn't mean you have to join a coven. The coven work may be a really great path for you. And if so, I hope you find one. But if coven life may not be the right fit for you, or
you may not find one.
Right. Yeah. So it's, there still is a lot of that out there, of the sense of there's a formula I have to follow. And to be honest, it can be very frightening for people to hear that you don't have to follow a formula. Then there's a sense of, then what's the point? What am I doing? Am I just floundering in those things? And that can be really challenging.
I feel pretty grateful that Wicca was so popular when it was, because those limitations that I ended up, you know, not liking so much at the end were very helpful in the beginning. You know, just because there was that structure, right? There was instructions to follow. And then once I'm used to following the instructions, I go off and do my own thing. And so when people ask me now, you know, a lot of the, and I don't know if this still happens, but a lot of the, you know, books I find are very Wiccan focused, or they just don't fit my beliefs. And I'm like, you know, read them anyways, because a lot of that methodology and stuff is just still very useful. It works for them. It might work for you. You just have to, you know, be a little open-minded and be willing to put your own spin on it later once you're familiar with it.
Because the freedom with this is that you can follow your heart and you can work with what's good for you. The challenge is that when you run into a block or you get nervous or you feel a little lost, you can't turn to somebody in the tradition and say, now what?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You're trying to like figure it out by yourself, my friend. Like,
yeah.
Do you want to post your phone number, Courtney? Because what I do is call Courtney. So maybe we just have our listeners just call Courtney.
Oh my God.
It's worked for me for like 25 years.
25 years.
Kanani calls me. So this happened. Now what? I'm like, well, try this. No, I don't want to do that. Okay. How about try this? No, I'm not going to do that. Have you tried this? Well, I thought about trying that. Well, why didn't you? Because I didn't want to do that. So
that sounds right. That sounds like a real taped recording of our conversation, actually. I'm not with you recording me while I speak.
Yeah, she's just reading the transcript now. Mystery.
So, Hayden, question for you is, what do you do as a non-traditional witch when you get stuck or when you feel blocked? Who do you or what do you do to try to get past that?
Wow, you know what? That's actually like a really timely question because I've really been like feeling like that lately just because, you know, everything's wild right now. And I've been struggling with it just a little bit. And I've been feeling so stuck that I keep trying to just focus on one thing. And so far that's been the thing that works. So like this week I started a little project where I was going to like pick a crystal and I was going to stick with it for the week and really like actually try to work with it. Like every day spend some time and like learn about how people use this crystal and try it for myself. And I've actually been sticking to that because it's like just a little bit that I can do. And same with like tarot cards. It's like, just pull one in the morning, just pull one and then spend as much time as you want hanging out with the card. And so far that's been really like, it's starting to add up.
Hmm.
But for the most part, I have been doing so little in terms of what feels like witchcraft. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, I go to like light a candle and I'm like, yeah, I'm like lighting a candle and I'm doing a little spell. And then next thing you know, I'm just lighting a candle and I don't really know if it's witchy or not, but it feels good to kind of keep trying. I'm hoping eventually I'll be able to really connect a little bit more without getting sidetracked.
I think that's just the product of what's going on right now. I mean, I certainly have found that where it's like my ability to focus. It's, you know, I think it's, we like to think, oh, we have all this time and like, yeah, we do technically, but it's like not quality time. It's like stressful and we're all nervous and it's scary. And so I think that we underestimate like how much that taxes us energetically.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then we end up being in the scenario where we're like trying to think of something or trying to focus on something or trying to put intentions into something. I did that earlier today and I was like, wait, what am I doing?
Yeah. And you know, focus is exactly the right word. That's exactly what I feel like. My focus is just very, very short lately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that.
I think that that's exactly like you just said, Hillary, where it's, so much of our energy right now is just being utilized towards just coping and getting through the day that then when you try and are like pulling out energy for something else, it's kind of like, yeah, we're tapped right now. We're already busy. I know you think we're not busy, but we're kind of busy. So I think,
you know, another like weird thing I've noticed when it comes to magic is like, I think, I don't know, it sounds like such a weird thing to say out loud, but I think like, oh, I want to do a little spell or I want to do a ritual or something. And I start to think of, you know, something, some purpose for these spells or rituals. And because life has kind of like screeched to a halt here, it's like, wait, what do I do? I don't want to, you know, do any of that classic stuff. I'm not going to attract love because I can't go out on a date and meet a stranger. You know, I'm not going to work on attracting money because I can't go out and find a job. It's just little things like that. Like with the rest of like life stopping, I almost feel like there's no, I don't know, like, I don't want to say there's no purpose to magic, but there's no discernible purpose that I can find right now. No, like, material purpose. And I'm struggling to find something else there. Also, I just feel like it's too hard for me to, like, tell people what to do with magic. It's like, we need magic more than ever. You know, we're struggling. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, for what? It's like, let's find something we can do with it. So, like I said, I've been trying to, like, focus on, like, one thing at a time and just trying to, like, keep my focus and, like, make a connection with that item or with that idea. I've been doing a lot of journaling. That's one thing that's nice about being by yourself, is that you feel this need to say things, and writing them out just really, really helps.
I am so terrified at the notion of writing down all the crazy that happens in my head.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't write down some of the really crazy stuff because I don't want anyone to ever find it.
You it's can just email that to me, though. Crazy. I will 100%. Yeah. I will read that, and I will not.
You know, one practice.
I'll be like, you know what? This is what I thought. And you'll be like, wow, I'm not talking to her anymore.
Well, like, one nice thing, or one thing that I've done before, and it came out of a, you know, of kind of like some creative harnessing that I did at some point, was just to do, it actually is part of The Artist's Way, which is a kind of like creative rehab book. And what I had done was it does morning pages, which is just like stream of conscious writing in the morning before you get up, before you're like getting up and doing stuff.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's super good. And the nice thing about it is there are times when I go back through that, but there are times that I just burn that. It's like, sometimes, you know, there's like keeping a journal or looking back, but I also think sometimes when you just need to get some stuff out of your brain, it doesn't necessarily have to be something that you keep or hold on to. I mean, there have been times where I've been going through a really rough time and just been like, I have like to brain purge. Like, there's so much going on in my head. And there's something about putting that down on paper and then burning it that it's like, you're like, okay, it's out, and now I'm letting it go.
Sounds like a great idea for like right now, like this, I'm starting to feel like, I don't know. I'm starting to feel like I'm coming up out of this, like my initial shock over the whole pandemic situation plus moving. So I feel like I'm coming up out of this initial shock. And I think maybe like writing out just kind of all of that and burning it and just getting rid of it might be like a really good idea for right now. Like
that
taking that extra
really cathartic. Step.
Yeah. Well, and also, it, like, really lighten it up and just getting it out.
Well, it also gives you the courage to write something down with the knowing no one's going to see this because I'm going to burn it. So you just write it down and True then that. You don't have to worry about it. And so for those who are not familiar, the stream of conscious writing is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning, like before you go to the bathroom, take your morning shit, do that kind of thing. But before you make your breakfast, before you check your phone, big, very, very important, before you check your phone or get plugged in, is you just sit down and write whatever comes to your head without like trying to say, I feel this morning. So it may not mean, the words may not make any sense.
You know, and I think this is, I just had like a tiny little like epiphany. I think this is part of like something about my practice that's changing, and about witchcraft that I think is changing, is that it's becoming much more tied in like personal development than I feel like it ever was. And personal development's like kind of a buzzword, but we use our witchcraft and our spirituality to do things like work through emotional situations or work through trauma or to help us express ourselves. You know, we do a lot more of this kind of non-tangible stuff with witchcraft. And my background was always in, you know, Wicca, which has these very specific purposes for each of your spells. And I'm starting to find that right now, when there is no specific purpose, there still needs to be something that you can, or there still is something that you can work your spirituality into, or that can combine with your spirituality. Like, I'm just finding that that's way more the direction of witchcraft in general and of my practice. That's the direction it needs to take from this point.
So we also had a listener question I'd like us to explore.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, we like to have our guests help us unwind these. They're always really, really good and make us think some deep stuff. And this one, I believe, came from a younger listener. I'm really new to magic. I just learned about it in a book my mom downloaded on Audible. I've started researching different types, and I'm interested in spiritual magic.
on all the podcasts I listen to, they talk about how they can communicate with spirits and how anyone can do it if they learn, but they never explain how to learn. I know it's not an overnight thing, but could you help me with the basics?
You know, that's such a cool question. I feel like so many people who are new are kind of afraid to jump into something like, I want to talk to spirits. That's so interesting. It's hard to practice, right? Because you don't know if you're successful or not. You don't really have that gauge. I think the best way to start is to start with things like learning from other people who speak with spirits. So like getting a book of a medium that tells the story of their practice or their life or how it got started. Start listening to some of the ways that mediums or people who talk to spirits, the sensations that they got when they started. Mm. Like I remember, because everybody's different, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody has a different experience. So some people are like, a lot of people will have a similar experience. Like I hear this kind of fuzzy sound in my ears and it gets louder and louder and louder, but not everybody has something like that. It might be something that they, you know, did themselves that started the entire process or some other sensation they had. Yeah, I think that's the coolest way to start.
I think it's personal. You know, I think one of the things that I would say is good to think about is that it's not going to be like one day some spirit just walks up to you and is like, yo, hi, how's it going? I just wanted to have a conversation. I mean, like, I feel like when I first felt spirit's presence, it's changed as I became more spiritually open, I think, to that. But I always suggest that it's not like you're having a conversation necessarily with a human. I mean, I think probably some people do experience that, but
for sure.
But I think that being open to what you feel, if you notice that it could be in your dreams, it could be something you smell that's familiar. It could be a feeling. It could be a visual. It could be an auditory experience. So I think allowing yourself to be more aware of what's around you in the sense that like you, paying close attention to what you feel and how that varies when you're in different scenarios. There's not like this is what you do. And then you dial this number. And then there's a person there, you know, there's a spirit to talk to. And I certainly think that there's lots of people that don't have just like normal, like it's a day-to-day conversation with a human in the way that they communicate with spirits. So it is a hard question.
It's a hard question because it's so individual. I think also just kind of exploring, like you mentioned dreams, and that's such a good point because you talk to a lot of people who are like experienced psychics and they're like, yeah, I had really serious dreams that I never really paid attention to. And when I did, that's when I started to notice other things around me. So finding out all of those little individual ways, that our psychic gifts kind of come through. There's a book it's Ellen Dugan. It's The Natural Psychic. And in it, she has little like exercises to kind of practice the different types of psychic skills and kind of explore, you know, how you hear things or how you see things, if any of those things are really there or not, or if other people hear them. And I think all of that is really cool, really helpful. But mostly I think it's just about kind of trusting and recognizing your like different feelings and vibes and stuff like that. You know, if you hold old items and you get strong emotions from that is a way of communicating possibly with the dead. So pay attention to little things like that.
I also think people get confused with the whole idea of quote unquote seeing and quote unquote hearing. Right?
Yeah.
Like they think they're going to physically see something like I see my dresser in my room.
Yeah.
Like that's not
physical sight and psychic sight are totally different.
Yes. And so I think and to be honest, I don't think that that's something that's necessarily explained well. And so when people don't see something next to them the way they, you know, see a chair, they go, oh, well, I can't see things.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of it too, is to understand that you're not necessarily going to physically see something with your eyes the way that you would see something that's sitting in the room. Sometimes you do, and it's that clear, but a lot of times it's not.
Yeah.
And
I mean, some people have you know, those next level skills. Like some people are the lady from Medium or whatever, right? They're really interesting and they have this really strong psychic sense or they have really amazing seances. And sometimes you can talk to those people, but sometimes just kind of watching what they do, you can see small little things that kind of add up to the whole picture. Like everybody's so different.
Yep.
But not everybody's going to get it that clear, and that's okay too.
And I think it's also an understanding that it's not about learning a language, it's a developing a language with the spirit. Yeah. So it's not like it's happening and you don't understand, it's that that language needs to be built. When it comes to talking with the spirits, but I say this cautiously because I don't want people to think that I'm saying spirits are imaginary friends, because I do not think that. No. I do think, though, a way to give yourself permission to talk to the spirits is remind, if you had an imaginary friend as a child, remembering what that feeling was like to talk to them. Yeah. Right. And also to start really being observant in what's happening around you, observing the animals, observing weather changes, observing feelings, those kinds of things. And a lot of times people first say, well, how do I know if this is a spirit message or not? Start by just saying, maybe it is.
Yeah, and you don't know.
Yeah, don't try to confirm that it is. That takes a very long time. I feel like only now in my witchcraft journey do I feel comfortable enough in saying, okay, that was a message. I'm never going to be 100% sure until I get a confirmation. I'll give an example in that I had a friend pass away about a week ago. And it was pretty sad. And the day that I got the news of her death, I was out walking my dog and this enormous black vulture flew out of the bushes and sat in a tree above my head. And my blood just went cold. And I'm not afraid of vultures. And I see them a lot because we're out in the country and there's a lot of rabbits and rats and things that the vultures are feasting on. But there was something about that vulture being that close to me and flying from the ground up over my head that I knew I was about to lose somebody. Yeah. There are times when I see something go, ooh, I hope that's not a bad sign. And it turns out it didn't happen. But over time, by leaning into that maybe, instead of saying, yes, it is, or no, it isn't, or am I doing this wrong, just saying maybe, then you start to become more in tune for when it is. And for me, that was clear as a bell that I was about to lose someone. And I got the word a few hours later. Actually, one of my priestesses called me and said, I know what your vulture was about.
Oh, see, and that's such a clear message. It's almost a blessing to get a message that clear, because oftentimes they're not. It's an unfortunate message, of course, but I think a lot of people have moments like that. Just, you know, your average non-witch citizen totally has moments like that where they have these like powerful emotional responses or like gut feelings, and they're just not told to pay attention to it or to think of it as real. You know, where we're taught to kind of dismiss that. That's just, you know, that's your lizard brain or whatever. But like paying attention to that stuff is a big part of being in tune with the world around you. You know, that's a natural sensation that we all just get from being a human being on this planet. We should encourage each other to pay more attention to those spooky vibes and the gut feelings and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. So Paige, I'm going to switch gears on us again. We've been all over the place today and it's just going to keep going that way. I think I want to give some time for you to tell us all about this wonderful new book that you have coming out. I've not had it for long, so I haven't had a chance to dig deep into it, but I can already tell that it's just going to be a wonderful guide for a lot of people. And it's called Green Witchcraft, A Practical Guide to Discovering the Magic of Plants, Herbs, Crystals, and Beyond. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I can't believe it came out at the end of February, and it's been so exciting. This book is all about, I love how self-explanatory the title is. It really is a practical guide, but I tried to write something that really would appeal to almost anyone who is interested in exploring, you know, natural witchcraft and is looking for a way that they can explore it so that they can add to it and make it their own. You know, we were talking about how we had to make a practice our own. And throughout the book, I was trying to give people the basics and give people the little bit of direction so that they could take it wherever they wanted. And so far, a lot of the response I'm getting is saying those things, like it fits in with whatever it is that they're doing. So I talk about connecting with nature, ways that you can start to feel things like feelings or energy from a spiritual perspective, ways that you can connect with your natural environment, some meditations you can do with the moon and with the nature around you. And then I talk about different flowers, herbs, plants, trees, and crystals and stones, 15 for each of those, that you can use in your practice and ways to work with them and to use their energy to bring magic into your life and to manifest a lot of the things that you want.
Well, we have reached the conclusion of the show. We finish our episodes with a ritual we call As Below, So Above, speaking of things that are non-traditional. And so we each mentioned something that we are letting go of and something we would like to welcome in. And I call on Hillary to go first.
Okay. So something that I want to let go of, and this is like something that I think I do in times of uncertainty. So, you know, in the midst of layoffs, I think you worry about finances and what that will look like. And then focus on what you don't have. And I think that what I'm really trying to do through this is to let go of, I mean, it's okay to feel emotion or fear or whatever. That's a natural thing to feel. But I'm really trying to let go of me focusing all of my attention on that so that I don't even see what opportunities are open. Right. So for me, the letting go is letting go of the focus on what I don't have, what might not happen, and the what ifs, like, what if I don't this? What if I don't get a job in time? What if I don't have enough money? You know, like to really let go of focusing on what ifs, because we don't know what those are. We're not able to predict what that's going to look like necessarily. So to let go of the what ifs and bring in the things that I can do, like really focusing on solid steps and practicality and being open to what might come in the closure of one door and the opening of another.
So can that be mine too?
I know. I was going to say, damn, that was really good.
Yeah, that was really good.
Sometimes I say things that are okay.
Every little bit.
Not very often.
Kanani, are you going to go or are you just going to borrow Hillary's?
I'll let you go next, Courtney. I'm not following that.
Oh.
One of us better say something dumb and can't pull it out.
You want to go? All right, Paige, you can go.
Oh my, okay. I wish I could just replay your answer. You know what? I think I also really need to let go of like worrying about the things that I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. And even more so, like even in the immediate future, like there's not a lot of planning that I can do. And I need to just kind of let go of feeling like I should just wait it out. And I am just going to freak out about it now and, you know, wait until it's all over. I think I'm just going to let that fear go completely and try to just come up with like a new, try to bring in something new every day or throughout the week that just makes it feel like things are working and makes it feel like things are moving along, makes it feel like life is moving along out there. I'm going to pay a little less attention to the news in general.
That's generally helpful.
Yeah, not going to read it like multiple times a day. I'm going to let go of some of that fear and just kind of, I don't know, wait it out. Hold on to some hope that things are going to go well in the future.
So mote that.
So I would want to, I think I would want to let go of feeling like I keep telling myself, but I still feel like I should be doing more than I'm doing. You know, you feel like I have quote unquote free time. I should be doing more. I'm trying to let go of that feeling of, you know, utilizing every moment of this time because I'm probably never going to have this much time. Because it's just too hard to focus to accomplish things. So I think, you know, I'm going to try and, you know, let go of that feeling of, you know, I should be making myself busy. I would like to bring in a little bit more, I think, fun. Try and find things that I enjoy. Try and find little projects that I can do that aren't necessarily, like have to do's, that are more just fun to do's. So I think that's what I'm going to try and do, is just kind of let go of that pressure and anxiety of I should be accomplishing a lot right now, and bring in just maybe do some things just because it's fun to do.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Mine's pretty simple. Sometimes I feel like I'm looking at this parallel universe with my life in it and thinking I should be over there doing that because I should have done all these other things. And so it's still more of that I should be doing something different. So I'm going to let that go and bringing in focusing on the now, and hopefully also bringing in my missing period. So Paige, where can people find you in your work?
The best place to find me is thefatfeministwitch.com, and that has links to everything. But I am all across social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find me as, you know, The Fat Feminist Witch. I'm usually the only one that comes up. And to find the podcast itself, you can do that at fatfeministwitch.podbean.com, or you can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere. If it's not where you listen to podcasts, just tell me and I will put it there.
All right. Awesome. Well, highly recommend everybody check out Paige's podcast and her book and follow her work, because she is just exceptional. And we're really, really grateful that you came to be with us today. And now we know we have a doppelganger in Canada, so we're going to come up and see you, all three of us.
I know. When the government stops trying to keep us from getting together, we're going to get together.
That's right. I know. Once it's safe to be out and about, then we'll definitely have to plan a trip to hang out.
Yeah. 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 You know what? I think every American should come to Canada and just like hang out. I bet it's very odd. Like, I bet it's really weird to be in some place that is so much like your country. Like, we're just like you guys, but everything's just slightly different.
A little less on fire.
I wonder if it's like when you're in Oregon,
for a little less on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A little less of a dumpster fire happening.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to check out our Etsy store and follow us on all the social media platforms. We love you guys, and we will see you with another bonus episode next week.
Yay!
Join us on the first and third Mondays of the month for magical tools, tips, and stories about living as a witch in today's world.
Find us at thatwitchlife.com for archived episodes, or to ask your burning questions for us to answer in a future podcast.
So mote it be.
Courtney, I have an idea. I think you should change Kanani's ringtone to so that every time she calls, you're prepared.
I used to have one for her that was a specialty ringtone, and it went like this. You don't want to answer the phone. The woman who called is nuts. You don't want to pick up the phone. She's crazy. She's psycho.
You used to play it for me. I loved it. I used to call her when we were in the same room.
Oh, my God.
And then that phone broke, and I had to get a new one, and I lost the ringtone. But, yeah, that was...
It's
for years. That's what we're playing when Kanani called.